People wonder why it is that we as Christians, Catholics in particular, are so pro-life. And there's a reason for that. Because life is something good. God himself is life, and God is love. And that as Christians, we're all called to build a civilization of love and to sustain human life, to take care of life, to preserve life, and to do this as an act of love. We even see death in a different way, a way that many people in our world do not. And we know that how we view death helps us to understand the meaning, the purpose, and the value of life. We consider that, let's say, well over 50 years ago, we'll say 100 years ago in our area, funeral homes did not take away the bodies of the dead. People usually didn't die in other places except at home. So people died at home, person died. It was the family who prepared the body by washing and dressing the body. The men went out to the barn and crafted a casket. The body was then waked at home and prayed for at home until they would take the body over to church and have the funeral mass, and then go to bury the body in either the church cemetery or family cemetery. It was normal. It was part of life. A sad part, but a part of life nonetheless. Today we go to grocery stores and we buy our packs of meat to prepare food, but 100 years ago that wasn't the case. Your food was right there in your backyard and you had to kill it yourself. Your chickens, your pigs, your calves, what have you. Something had to die in order for you to live. We realized the value of sacrifice. And people did the very same thing for each other. They would sacrifice themselves and maybe die to themselves or die to a personal preference for the sake of their family or their children. Husbands sacrificing for wives, parents for their children, and so on. And we do that as Christians because we realize that death is not the end. There is something that lies beyond this. There is life that goes beyond this life. If there were nothing of an afterlife, if we said that's it, once you're dead, lights are out, curtains closed, doors shut, there's nothing else, what happens to us? We begin to have a dark, cynical view of life. We want to have fun and live it up, but yet it's something that doesn't give us any peace. We give in to our darker selves, becoming myopic. We become turned in on ourselves, self-absorbed and narcissistic. We begin to live it up. We eat and drink to excess, we party to excess, and become hedonistic. With that, we become careless and sloppy about the things of life. We become greedy and chaotic. And with that, people also become repulsive, rude, and obnoxious. Kind of like how the world is today when you think about it, because people don't understand the meaning and purpose of life, nor do they have any hope of life after this one. It's about total self-centeredness, total self-preservation, and at the same time, people are deeply, deeply unhappy. They might be partying all the time, life may be a party, but that brings no joy. It has no meaning. There's no sense of purpose. But I think all of us deep down inside, we all know that we're made for something more. As we heard from Scripture, God made us in his own image and likeness. God formed us to be imperishable and the image of his own nature. In the image of his own nature, God made you and me. God is life. God is love. We were made by life, for life, by love, for love. God is great, the greatest of all things, and because of that, you and I have been made and are destined for greatness in Christ. God did not make death, as Scripture reminds us, and he does not rejoice in the destruction of the living. God fashioned all things that they might have being, and the creatures of the world are wholesome. That is, in God, they have everything they need. They have life and they have love. Human beings alone can love as God loves, but even animals have a sense of that. There's an understanding that life is good and that we need one another. How did death come into the world? By the envy of the devil. Satan couldn't stand the fact that we could enjoy paradise with God, that we could see God face to face, that human beings actually had a communion with God, something he himself had lost by his own selfishness. And so he tried desperately to tempt human beings and turn us away from God, and sadly he succeeded. When Adam and Eve turned away from God through sin, death came into the world and all the things that accompany it. Sickness, misery, etc., you name it. And God told Adam, he said, "From the dust you come, and now to the dust you shall return." But that's not the end of the story. We know that. In the fullness of time, the Son of God, Jesus himself, would become a man, the new Adam, would sacrifice himself for our salvation. Life died to give the dead life. That's exactly what Jesus did. Life died to give the dead life. He rose from the dead and restored life so that death would have no power over us at all. Baptized into Christ Jesus, we've been baptized into his death. We share life with him. Death has no power over you and me. Sin has no power over you and me unless we allow ourselves to go back into it. You know, I think this is amazing. So, long after Adam and Eve, right? After the story of the Garden of Eden, here you've got these primitive peoples of the world, okay? The cave people, right? And archaeologists have discovered that these primitive peoples around the world have done something in common. They buried their dead. They didn't know the story of Genesis. They didn't know God. They didn't know Christ. They had no priest to preach to them. There was no church, no Bible. But there was an innate sense that from the earth we come and to the earth we must return. They buried their dead. But more so, they buried their dead with tools and weapons and clothing, sometimes even food. Archaeologists have found these things. Things that these deceased would need in the next life. So they realized that even though they died, there was something beyond that. It wasn't just wishful thinking. There were ceremonies and rituals and everything that went along with this because they knew this. And as I said, they had no divine revelation, but there was a natural sense that something was there and that it was going to last. And like all living, moving beings, people want to live. We want life because we realize that's why we were made. That's why both animals and men flee from danger to protect our lives, because life is good, life is holy. We want it, we need it, and we try at all costs to preserve it. And that's the story of the poor woman with the hemorrhage. Here she is literally bleeding. Her lifeblood is flowing out from her. And she tries desperately to get some kind of a cure and goes to all kinds of doctors. They have all kinds of quack cures. None of them work. Till finally she goes where? To the source of life himself. To Christ Jesus. And she realizes, I will go to him. And how does Jesus give her life back? How does he heal her? By love. God is love. We know that. Christ is God. He is the divine Son of God. Christ himself is love incarnate. Jesus loved the woman with the hemorrhage. Jesus loved Jairus. Jesus loved the father, the daughter of Jairus. Jesus loves us. In that love, he wants to give us life. That's what the woman with the hemorrhage wanted. That's what Jairus wanted for his daughter. He wanted his daughter to live because he loved her. And Jesus went because he loved her. Jairus called for Jesus. Jesus is God. God is love. Jesus is love. He restores Jairus' daughter to life. God, in his love, brings life in the midst of death. Two things you may have missed over. Why is it that the gospel tells us that the girl was 12 years old? Why is that important? Because biologically speaking, about that age, a girl begins to go into her cycle and is able to become a mother at that point, which means that her body is now able to do what? Bring forth new life. What does Jesus say after she is raised from the dead? He says, get her something to eat. Why? To sustain life. So that's what we do as Christians. We bring life into the world, we sustain life, we give life, and we do this as an act of love. That's exactly what St. Paul tells us in Corinthians, that every gift that you and I have, be it intellectual, moral, spiritual, physical, material, all the gifts that God blesses us with, we are to use to sustain life and bring life into the world. To do good, to be good, and to create a culture of life, a civilization of life and love. And we have saints. So many saints that give us a great example of this. I just think of one in particular, St. Damien de Voyster, who back in the 19th century was a Belgian priest, a missionary, who voluntarily went to the island of Molokai in Hawaii to do what? To minister to lepers. And St. Damien knew, if I do this, I will never go back home. I'll never go back to the mainland of Hawaii. I will be there the rest of my life. But he voluntarily gives up his life for these lepers, repairing the church, building houses, building a school, literally with his own hands, digging graves, fashioning caskets, bringing help. This man brought life in the midst of death. He himself would endure death as he contracted leprosy himself, serving the people, but today we call him a saint. He lives in glory because he sacrificed himself for others in the midst of death. And that's what we do. In the face of darkness, in the face of death, in the face of war, in the face of man's inhumanity to man, these people, all these saints, died bringing life through love in the midst of death, but they live on in glory, and so should we. That should make us think, as Christians, how could you or I ever be so afraid to die that we'd be afraid to love, be afraid to live? How could we ever be so afraid to die that we'd be afraid to love and afraid to live in love? That, brothers and sisters, is Christianity. That is the absolute message of the cross. As St. Paul says, a stumbling block and a seeming foolishness to unbelievers. This is who we are and this is what we do. It's the very center of our faith. As Jesus says, greater love than this no one has than to lay down his life for his friends. And we see his example. But we also know that his death is not the end. The resurrection is. The resurrection is. Christ is alive, physically alive. Because he is alive, you and I are alive, alive in him. His was a sacrifice of love that brings resurrection. Ours must be a sacrifice of love to bring life, knowing that we too shall rise from the dead. Our bodies may die, but what makes us who we are lives forever because of the love of Jesus Christ, our baptism into him. And furthermore, as he promises, even though our bodies lie in the earth, when he returns on the last day, just as he is risen, we shall rise. St. Paul tells us, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither present things nor future things, nor any creature will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we persevere, we shall also reign with him. Death has no power over Christ. Death has no power over us. We live and believe in Christ. He is our light and our love, our resurrection, our life. As he said to Martha and Mary when their brother Lazarus was dead, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die.